Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Facility Executive Podcast, where we discuss facility design, operation, and maintenance. I'm Jennifer Goetz, the editorial director of Facility Executive. And today I'm joined by Chris Berge, who is responsible for mergers and acquisitions, strategic partnerships, and driving UMA's strategy for enterprise unified communications as a service UCaaS. He brings diverse experience ranging from information technology, sales, channel business models, corporate development, and strategy. Today we will be discussing the Copper Line Sunset. So Chris, to get started, what is the Copper Line Sunset and how does this impact facility management professionals?
Absolutely. And first of all, thanks for having me on this podcast. I appreciate the opportunity. It's been interesting. So the Copper Line Sunset refers to what is the old analog network. We call it the POTS network or plain old telephony service. It's been around for over 100 years. And what's happened is the incumbent carriers, you think of AT&T and Verizon, Lumen, want to turn off that old network because it's really expensive to maintain. The folks that are working on it have been retiring from those organizations. And so the FCC has actually set this in motion to begin to turn off that old network. And this came about from an order issued in 2019 that permits the incumbent carriers like AT&T and Verizon to actually shut it off. But more importantly, it provided them something called forbearance. And what that means is they can now charge whatever they want for these POTS lines or copper lines. And the issue is all the easy devices have largely been migrated to more modern services. So you're left with millions of specialty devices that are still leveraging this type of connectivity to operate. And some of them are life safety oriented systems. So it's putting a lot of pressure on figuring out a strategy for what to do around these devices and frankly saving money since the cost of POTS lines has gone up to a pretty egregious level.
Wow. So based on what you're saying, why hasn't the Copper Line Sunset become a bigger topic of discussion? And do you think if people aren't talking about it yet, that they will be soon?
Yeah, you know, honestly, it's flown under the radar for a lot of organizations because each of the carriers can turn off this network at their own pace. And many have been kind of stringing this out over time. And for the longest period of time, POTS lines were just this bill you would automatically pay in the background. You wouldn't really think about it. And what we saw occur starting last year is dramatic increases in the price of those lines. So doubling, tripling, quadrupling, which is suddenly getting finances attention or accounting's attention because you're going from paying $60 a month to $400 a month per line. And so I think that's really raised a lot of awareness for organizations that something needs to be done. And again, the nature of many of these devices, commercial burglar, fire panels, elevators, blue light safety phones, they're really important to a lot of these environments. And there could be real liability issues that come into play if service ceases to function for those devices.
Of course. So how is plain old telephone service changing because of the Copper Line Sunset?
Yeah, there's been, because the incumbent carriers, again, want to turn off all of this equipment and a lot of the staff, the technicians that were working on it are retiring, what we've seen is what historically has been a very, very reliable network has degraded in terms of its reliability. So it's not uncommon for lines to stop working when there's a bad storm, for instance. Rain is kind of the enemy of copper wiring in the ground. And when something does break, it can take weeks or months to get it repaired by the technicians at the incumbent carrier, or sometimes they just outright refuse to repair those lines. And so you can imagine if you have a fire panel at a building location or an elevator and that stops working and the fire inspector comes in, does an inspection, you could lose your certificate of occupancy and or you could get fined. So it's pretty catastrophic implication here for what can go wrong in this scenario.
Wow, it's interesting that you say that because it leads into my next question, which is how has the Copper Line Sunset impacted businesses and what are some of the challenges companies are facing as a result?
Yeah, I mean, the impact is wide-ranging across all organization types, to be honest. And, you know, what it's forcing is something that we relegated to the background and never really had to think about now has come to the forefront, and we have to develop strategies for how to handle the ultimate sunset that's going to occur and, frankly, the cost, the rising cost of these POTS lines, which is just going to continue to go up as a burden on these organizations. And so a lot of organizations are challenged with even understanding their inventory. you know, what do I have that's actually leveraging these old analog lines into equipment? And so getting a firm grasp on what's in your environment and then beginning to develop a migration strategy for how you stay ahead of this before those lines actually do get shut off and you can find yourself in a real bind.
Do you have any advice for facility managers on how to manage that and get organized when it comes to their devices?
Yeah, so there's a number of different ways to handle this. UMA ourselves will help you through a site survey process if you want to get a really good audit on what may be in your environment. Your bills, too, will show you what you're paying for, and not all of those lines may be in use, for instance. And if you use telecom expense management firms, there's a lot of these organizations out there, they're great at helping you identify what's in your environment. But the first key step is inventory. Know what you're dealing with in your environment so you can begin to develop a strategy for how you migrate service for those devices.
One thing I would love for you to break down is what specific devices will be impacted by the copper line sunset.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And so we see a wide range of devices out in environments that facilities managers will want to keep an eye on. So some of the easiest ones out of the gate are commercial burglar or alarm systems, fire control panels in an environment. If you have elevators in an environment, then you're required to have communications, typically serviced through POTS lines, if an emergency happens in that elevator. We've also seen different types of sensors, like CO2 sensors down in boiler rooms that leverage POTS lines for monitoring of that environment. Different safety phones, you know, either college campuses or larger commercial real estate properties like a mall where you've got that little safety box that often uses POTS lines to communicate back. Various building entry systems or gate access systems are also impacted. And even down into more of a kind of residential setting, you think of HOA communities and you have pools, most local building codes require that you have a phone by the pool in case there's an emergency. That phone typically uses a POTS line. And you can get into more obscure things like SCADA systems and gas station pumps. There are a surprising number of devices out there that actually leverage this old analog network to communicate.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. These devices are so critical for all building operations. I'm curious to know about any alternatives that will be able to achieve the same results as these devices. And what should facility executives and managers look for in alternative solutions?
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways to approach these devices. The first of which is implementing a solution called a communicator. So if you get down to specific devices like commercial burglar or fire panels or even elevators, there's companies that have developed solutions very specific and narrow to each of those. Now, this can wind up being pretty expensive and you're deploying multiple different vendors to serve a wide array of devices in your environment, but it solves the problem too by converting this over to cellular communication from legacy kind of wireline. And the other issue there is that may trigger upgrades to the devices that you have in your environment. So it can make it a lot more daunting task by having to upgrade your panels, for instance. The other approach is a solution like what we do with UMA AirDial, where it is a POTS emulator effectively. So we can serve just about any type of device out in the market. It's not specific to one category. And we sit back in the wiring closets in your building where the carriers bring in all your connectivity versus right next to a fire panel. And so when looking at solutions in the space, you have to be privy to certain devices actually come with specific regulatory requirements. Elevators and fire panels are two of the greatest examples there. And fire panels are probably the most stringent. And so it becomes really critical to ensure that the solutions that you are implementing are compliant with things like the NFPA 72 guidelines or they are UL 864 certified, because the local fire marshal is actually the one that comes in and will sign off on this connectivity in a customer's environment. And one of the stipulations around fire panels is you're not supposed to operate that over the public internet. So you have to pay really close attention here because there could be liability for you as an organization if you're not being compliant. And again, the fire inspector can come in and fine you. We've seen that happen, or they can pull your certificate of occupancy for a building as well.
Perfect. Now I'd like to learn more about the regulatory considerations for the plain old telephone service. And in addition to that, with the copper line sunset, there are so many devices, as you mentioned, that will be impacted by this. What advice might you have for facility executives and managers who haven't started addressing this yet? Which areas would you recommend they focus on first?
Yeah, it may seem a little daunting at first, to be honest, but it's a lot easier to get your arms around this once you begin the journey. So as I mentioned earlier, the first thing is really identifying an inventory of what is in your environment, going and taking a look at your phone bill if you haven't in quite a while to see what you're currently paying for it, and trying to stay ahead of potential elimination of service, which is something that we can help you identify because that does have to be publicly recorded with the FCC. And once you start to get your arms around all that, a strategy can be developed over time to take a phased migration. And, you know, look, we as a company, core part of our ethos is making all of this really approachable and easy for customers. So again, looking at the right type of solution that's flexible, that has unified management and monitoring from the cloud, has all the compliance, and has 24/7 support is really important for the nature of some of these devices. So you're confident that the service will continue to function properly and serve all the types of devices that you have in your environment.
Perfect. So what are the next steps for organizations that really want to eliminate plain old telephone service line dependency? If you could give us an idea of maybe from start to finish, how long do you think it will take organizations to make these changes?
Yeah, so it's happening now. So let's be honest about that. A good example is one of the providers, Windstream, has been actively shutting off lines to customers. And we've had some come to us in a panic because their elevator stopped working because the line was shut off and they couldn't find another POTS line solution. So you do have to be privy. And again, there is no unified strategy that the FCC mandated for all of this. They left it up to each of the carriers who are doing this at a different pace. AT&T did share last year that they're planning to turn off half of their copper network by 2025. So this is real.
Wow.
This is a problem now, and you don't want to get caught in a bind where maybe some of your locations get shut off and then AT&T is going to do it in a year and you're scrambling for some and not others. Better to get ahead of this and really try to develop a strategy. And again, you're highly likely to save a lot of money, given that they're using price increases as a vehicle to try to drive people away. So look at the vendors in the market. We obviously have, we think, a wonderful solution. We're happy to engage. You know, check out our website at www.ooma.com. You'll be able to find AirDial there. We're happy to guide you through this.
Awesome. Is there anything we haven't mentioned in regards to the copper line sunset that you really feel is important for all facility executives and managers to keep in mind moving forward?
We covered much of that, right? This is a real problem. This is something that you're going to have to address at some point, and you want to avoid the situation where you're getting caught in a bind and you're having to act rapidly because something has occurred. So
yes.
Spend the time and the energy to go and start investigating this in your environment. Look for help from outside resources and develop a plan to tackle this.
Would you say there are any misconceptions about the copper line sunset that people may not realize at face value? Or would you say instead of misconceptions, there needs to be a greater awareness of this topic in general?
Yeah, there were some misconceptions, right? There was some information going on last year that was indicating the entire copper network was going to shut down in August 2022, which was patently false. You know, you have to be a little careful around what you're reading out there and folks kind of misinterpreting what the FCC order said and did. But again, it is a real issue. And I think it's just flown under the radar. This is something that's sat in the background that nobody's really thought about for all these years. And so it's flown under the radar for a lot of organizations. And with the price increases and lines getting shut off, it's really started to rear its head from the very largest Fortune 50 enterprises all the way down to the local insurance agent that has, you know, a commercial burglar panel and a fax machine sitting in their office.
Absolutely. Chris, thank you for joining me today and for sharing more information about this topic for our audience.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer.
And special thank you to Uma for sponsoring this podcast. We'll now have a quick word from our sponsor. Uma AirDial is the hassle-free, all-in-one POTS replacement solution that keeps your fire alarm, elevator phone, building entry system, and other safety communications up and running. Get everything you need, hardware, data, and phone service, at one low monthly rate. Uma AirDial can be self-installed or set up by Uma's knowledgeable technicians. See, monitor, and manage all systems using a web-based dashboard. Enjoy the confidence knowing your voice and alarm systems are powered by a secure and reliable cloud platform that is trusted by more than 2 million users. For more information, visit uma.com/airdial. Thank you to our audience for listening. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Facility Executive Podcast.